Resurrection Sunday is just a day of joy, man. It is a time to just rejoice. It's why all the bright colors, right? That's what it's all about. Sunshine. And it's okay. It doesn't work out there. Even when the sun is shining in New York, it still doesn't always work, I have found. But that's okay, because when you know the Lord is your Savior, you have sunshine inside no matter what's going on outside. And so we rejoice. And that's a wonderful word, isn't it? Rejoice. We don't use it a lot in everyday language, seems like. It has been confined to a Bible word in our generation. But it's a wonderful word. It just means what it means. It means to be glad and filled with joy. The word rejoice shows up some 60 times in the New Testament. We're told in the New Testament to rejoice in various things. We're told to rejoice with others who rejoice. We are told as Gentiles to rejoice with the Jews. We're told to rejoice in the truth, even when the truth hurts. We're told that in your service to Jesus Christ, rejoice even when it's costly. We're told to rejoice even in our sufferings for Christ. You serve the Lord, the suffering that comes with that. Rejoice. Jesus himself said to rejoice when you are persecuted because of him. And you know why he said do that? He said rejoice because great is your reward in heaven. This life is temporary. Life with the Lord and the thereafter is forever. He told the disciples not to rejoice because evil spirits were subject to them, because they were. But he said, rather rejoice because their names were written in heaven. Dealing with evil spirits and dealing with evil is temporary. It's only in this life. In heaven, well, we have that forever. And of course, we are told to rejoice in the Lord, which is what we're doing today. As our scripture reading said, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. 2011, I think it was, I did a hike in Sycamore Canyon. It was an overnighter. Sycamore Canyon is my second favorite canyon in Arizona, where I grew up. The Grand Canyon's my favorite, but Sycamore is beautiful too. It's much smaller, it's more remote, it's harder to get to, and the creek at the bottom of it, Sycamore Creek, is a perennial stream, meaning it only runs during the winter and from snow melt off and rain, and then by summer it runs dry until the following fall when the rains and the snows come again. Well, I was down there for my nephew's graduation, and I thought I'll get this hike in, well, since I'm down here anyway. Well, high schoolers graduate in late May. That's a little late to be doing a canyon hike in which your main water source dries up, is pushing it. I thought it might have dried already. But I packed my pack, 2 days worth of gear, borrowed my dad's Jeep, drove way out on these dirt roads, got to the rim of the canyon where I still couldn't see the bottom where I was at, and started that trail. And found myself, about 2.5 hours later, approaching the bottom and approaching Sycamore Creek. And sure enough, bone dry. What do? Call it off? Go back? Nah, gotta be water somewhere. So, keep going. Keep trucking. Once I got to the bottom, the trail follows the creek for several miles. Then I was gonna catch another trail the next day, climb out, make a loop back to the Jeep. So there's some deep pockets in this creek. They must be holding water. It can't all be evaporated. And if worse comes to worse, I can go on the inside bend and start digging in the sand. And there's a chance that that will bring water in those deeper sand pockets. That's what Jeremiah Johnson would have done. So I kept trucking. And I rounded bend after bend after bend in that creek and nothing. And now, reaching a point, it's starting to get hot. And whether I go back or keep going, I got a long way. And finally, I turned one corner in the river, and there, where a really deep hole on the outside bend stood with about 4 feet of cool, clear water that hadn't dried up yet. Praise the Lord! And I started singing right there in the shade. Did you know so often in the scriptures, rejoicing comes not because we have our wants met, but because God has met a need. That's why we rejoice. Because God has given us water when we are thirsty, something that we need to have. And that's why Resurrection Sunday is such a joyous occasion, even more than Christmas. And I like Christmas as much as anybody in this room. But Jesus' birth did not take away the sins of the world. His death and resurrection did. Jesus' birth did not take away my sin that I never deserved to have taken away. But his death and his resurrection did. So what specifically do we rejoice over on Resurrection Sunday? Well, number one, we rejoice in the cross itself. We rejoice in the cross, right? And which is kind of interesting because the cross was a Roman means of execution. It's like saying, we rejoice in the hangman's noose. We rejoice in the electric chair. We rejoice in a firing squad. That just doesn't sound right, but you know, on Resurrection Sunday, this is exactly what we rejoice in. The cross, that horrible, wretched, torturous means of execution. And it was. It was, man, them Romans knew how to make somebody suffer unto death. And yet, we rejoice in that? Why? Why do we rejoice in that? Well, I can tell you why. John chapter 19 and verse 30 tells us why. It says in John 19 verse 30, so, hanging on the cross, he said 7 things when he hung on that cross. John 19:30 records one of them. It says, so when Jesus had finished the sour wine, they brought some wine. It was like really bitter water that they put on a sponge, tied it to a pole, put it up there at the end of his long, enduring torment on that cross. He'd been up there for hours. They put it up there and he took a drink. And then it says, when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, this is my favorite statement that he made on that cross. He said, it is finished. And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. Why do we rejoice in the cross? Number one, we rejoice that Jesus finished a job on the cross. A job only he could finish. Unfinished jobs tend to bite you later. Have you noticed that? When you do a job almost to completion. Those of you who have renovated rooms in your house or built houses, you build a house and you move in and you get the job almost complete. But then there's things that you don't finish. Your baseboard still has primer on it in the house. You never paint it. In fact, it's probably not even attached to the wall. It's just leaning there, waiting for those finish nails someday. And then when do you get back to it? You put it up for sale. And guess what? I better finish this job. And all of a sudden, now you've got the process of moving as well as doing housework. It came back to bite you, right? Unfinished jobs bite you in the end, which Jesus Christ finished his job. His job was to pay for your sin and mine, because if we pay for it, we pay for all eternity. Scripture says that those who have the Son, Jesus, have life. Those who do not have life. Because the wages of sin, which we all are guilty of, the wages of sin is death. That doesn't just mean physical death, that means spiritual death. Forever and ever and ever in hell, dead to the Lord, separated from him, separated from him. Well, if there was any other way for you and I to get to heaven other than Jesus Christ's payment of his own life in death, any way that we could pay our own way, Jesus wouldn't have went to the cross. He wouldn't have, because he wouldn't have had to do that job. He did that job because it was the only way to pay for our eternal life. So he did in a very short time what would take us all eternity, and we would never finish the job. He did it, really, sometimes we say he did it in 3 days. Actually, he did it in 3 hours. When he bore the sins of the whole world, the world couldn't take it, and it went dark for 3 hours. And at the end of that 3 hours, he said, "It is finished." Wow. Yeah, I rejoice in the cross because of a finished work. But not only that, can I ask the tech crew, could you just for a moment raise the screen? We don't get to see our cross a lot because we sing off the screen now, and these low ceilings don't let us lift the screen too high. But this is our cross. You hit the cross lights on it, Joshua, so they can see that a little better. Oh, that, isn't that a beautiful cross? Warren Babcock built that cross when we renovated this auditorium some almost 18 years ago. And it's a beautiful cross. Our flower committee decorated it and got it all set up for Easter. But you know, what I would say is the most beautiful sight about that cross, the thing that is the most striking about it, is that there's no one on it. Okay. We rejoice in the cross because it's empty. Thank you, guys. You can lower the screen. It's empty. It's an empty cross. Jesus is not there because he finished the job of taking our sin. He took our death. And if you reject Jesus Christ, death is going to hit you like a Mack truck for all eternity. But folks, that's not necessary. Because 1 John 4:10 says, "In this is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins." Now that's a big word, propitiation. Oh yeah, you use that all the time, don't you? It's really a very simple word. All it means is wrath removing sacrifice. That's all it means. We, justifiably so, have the wrath of God on us because we sin against him. He didn't sin against us. He loves us, gives to us, created us, gives everything we need, and we reject and sin and do everything contrary to his wonderful holy nature. And so we deserve his wrath. And that wrath's coming. But Jesus on the cross removes the wrath. To anyone who believes on Christ as Savior and trusts what Christ did, by belief only, you can't earn this, because if you could earn it, if you could work your way to heaven, he wouldn't have come to the cross. But you can't. So, he did it for you. You just receive Christ by believing in him. And everybody who does that, well, the wrath has been removed. And then when physical death hits you, it's not going to hit you like a truck. It's going to pass over you like the shadow of a truck. He took the hit of death on that finished work of the cross. Believe on Jesus and you can rejoice, because then you will only stand in the shadow of the cross.
Thank you.
Amen. So yes, we do rejoice in the cross, even though that seems strange when it's such a ghastly symbol of death. But we don't stop there, okay? It does get better, because not only on Resurrection Sunday do we rejoice in the cross, but secondly, be glad and rejoice in the resurrection. The resurrection itself. Okay, why do we rejoice in the resurrection? That one seems a little more obvious. But Romans chapter 6, verse 9 says, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, get this, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. Why do we rejoice in the resurrection? We rejoice that Jesus did not stay buried. He did not stay buried. We are joyful today because Jesus is not on the cross, but we're also joyful because Jesus is not in the grave. He didn't stay there. You know, those ladies went there on Sunday. It was the day after the Sabbath. They wanted to anoint Jesus' body with perfumes and spices. That's what they did for the dead. They were grieving and mourning terribly. They themselves didn't fully understand the teachings that he taught of his resurrection. And they were just heartbroken. Because 3 days earlier, in the evening, they saw him die. They saw his body laid in a tomb. And a big old stone rolled in front of it to seal it. And the next day was the Sabbath, worst day of their lives. Couldn't do anything. On the Sabbath, they weren't supposed to do anything. They didn't do anything physical, no work. They just grieved all day long the loss of the Lord. And then, Sunday, first day of the week, now they could do something. They could anoint his body. And so on their way to the tomb, they said, who's going to roll that big rock away? We can't do it. Somebody needs to do that so we can get in there and see our Lord. And lo and behold, whereas before, the day before was the worst day of their lives, the day after was the best. Because when they got there, the stone had already been moved. And do you know why that stone was rolled away? Folks, it was not rolled so that Jesus could get out. It was rolled out of the way so that people could look in and see, he's not here. He didn't stay buried. He resurrected. And that's the second reason that we rejoice in the resurrection. Not only because he did not stay buried, but because Jesus lives today. Romans 6:10 says that. If you read the next verse, it says, for the death that he died to sin, and get this, once for all. But the life that he lives to God. If you reject Christ as Savior, you can only die to death. You can't live for the Lord. But you believe Jesus as your Savior, and the life you live will be a life lived to God, and a life lived to God is an eternal life. In Jesus Christ, you have life to God forever and ever and ever and ever. We don't serve a dead Savior. He's a living Savior. And according to Mark 12:27, he is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. We live because he lives. That's why. Everybody loves the sunrise, especially New Yorkers, because we don't get to see them very much. And even those of you who are not morning people, and that's a whole lot of you, you know, on those rare occasions where you do find yourself watching a sunrise, nobody ever complains about that, do they? It's a beautiful thing. Some churches on Easter Sunday will hold a sunrise service. Okay, some of you really like those. Be honest, I have never been to a sunrise service. We've never held one here at Open Door, not since I've been here, and I don't believe ever before that. As long as I'm pastor, we never will. Okay? Has nothing to do with morning. I'm a morning person. I was up at 3:30 this morning, typical day. Would like to have seen the sunrise. I didn't. The reason we don't do sunrise services here is because even when Easter is late in central New York, it is still cold out there. And going outside and holding outdoor service in 30-degree weather, that doesn't sound like fun. Actually, where I grew up in Phoenix, sunrise services are really popular because the weather is so pleasant. But another reason is we're not a city church. And city churches, where I grew up, I went to a city church. Everyone lived within 3 miles, just about everybody. You know, so churches that have everybody in such close proximity, well, they can have their sunrise service, and then everybody goes home, see you back here in a couple hours for a regular service. Well, I think it's unrealistic to expect some of you who drive 30 minutes to show up here at 6:30 a.m. for a half-hour sunrise service and then go home and then make that drive again. This just doesn't seem realistic. Okay? So we don't do sunrise services here. We are going to do something different next Easter, though. Easter of 2025, we are going to do something different in the morning than we normally do. You want to know what, don't you? Show up. Yeah. But we love sunrises. We really do. And I grew up taking them for granted in the desert because we did see our sunrise almost every morning. And even when there's no clouds, because the clouds can make a sunrise just gorgeous with all those oranges and morning purples. But in the desert, even when there's no clouds, the sunrise from Phoenix would open up on the other side of the Matizel Mountains. And you'd see that purplish color of the mountains, and then that sun would peek up, and there's no clouds there, just rays fingering out, making orange and yellow beams come up out of the mountains and then down the front of them as it got higher. Incredible, just absolutely beautiful. Well, because of Christ's resurrection, no matter how hard life gets for you, and life gets hard, and it has gotten really hard for believers throughout church history because of their faith, no matter how outnumbered you are because of your faith in Jesus, and you do get outnumbered, don't you? And no matter how painful your circumstances that they may become in this life, when one day that shadow of death passes over you, the sunrise that takes this place will make it all worthwhile. When you are in the presence of your Savior, you're going to see a sunrise like you have never imagined before. Do you know that we are told in the new heaven, or in the new earth, that we're actually not going to have a sun? And do you know why? Because we have the Son, the Son of God. And not only is He our radiance, spiritually speaking, He's going to radiate physically. He will be the sunshine and the sunrise each and every day for eternity. Folks, it just gets better. Romans 8:18 says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory, with the sunrise, which shall be revealed in us." That is when we're with Christ. There is going to be sunshine like you can't imagine. All made possible because of the resurrection. A sunrise resurrection.
Jesus is alive. Alleluia, Jesus is alive.
Oh, sing it to the Lord, sing it to the Lord, sing it to the Lord.
Jesus is alive.
Sing it to the Lord,
sing
it to the Lord. Sing glory and praise to the Lord. Jesus is alive. Alleluia, Jesus is alive.
People come with voices raised. Resurrect your songs of praise. Sing for joy and wake the day.
Jesus, Gloria, 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 Jesus is alive.
Rejoice. Resurrection.
Sunrise celebration.
Sunrise.
Sing it to the Lord.
Sunrise.
Sing it to the Lord.
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 Sing it to the Lord. He is alive.
Amen.
Amen. My dad just retired last week from his business that he started 40 years ago when I was in high school in Phoenix, Arizona, the wrought iron business, construction. And he just sold the business last week, finished the sale, it's all done, and now he's officially retired. You know why he started that business? He'd actually been part of a business venture before this in which he lost his shirt. It fell through, and he lost the business that he had, as well as he gained all this, he had all this debt to suppliers. He owed the money, and he went back to work for a company, and he would not file bankruptcy. My dad did not think that he should do that, so he just started paying little bits and pieces off of these different suppliers that he owed, and he owed lots. And he had thought about it after a while. He said, you know, it's going to take me forever doing this. And I said, I know if I have my own business, I can make more money and pay these guys off. And my mom wasn't too crazy about the idea, but he started the fence business, welding. He's a welder. He didn't start that to make money for himself. He started it to pay off his debts. Well, he started at the right time because things got better, and the economy picked up in Phoenix, and everyone started moving there, and construction was booming. But when he started off, he told his debtors, he says, or his creditors, he says, I'm not going to file bankruptcy. I can just pay you a little bit at a time. And he did, and he paid off that guy, and he paid off that sheetrocker, and he paid off that electrician, and it just slowly, slowly, the big one he owed was actually, I think it was the iron supplier. And that's what he was doing, and he owed that guy a lot of money. And after a couple of years, the iron supplier called him. And my dad said, I know, I still owe you a lot of money. He said, I just can't pay it off now. And the guy said, Mike, I've written off that debt. You're forgiven. Don't pay me anything. He said, that's what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is when you can't pay it back. If there was any way you could earn your way to Christ, then there'd be no need for forgiveness. And the resurrected Savior is a lot about him for doing what was necessary to forgive us. If forgiveness isn't necessary, that means you can pay it back. And then the supplier said to my dad, he says, I know, Mike, you've been working hard to get your business off the ground. So not only are we writing off your debt and forgiving that, we're giving you a $200,000 line of credit to put towards your new business. Now that's grace. See, grace is when you don't deserve something good that God does for you. I don't deserve to have my debts forgiven and go to heaven. I deserve hell because of my sin. But God writes off my debt because his son paid it and graciously replaces my debt with an eternal line of credit with him forever and ever and ever. Well, sure enough, business really picked up. My dad got a job, got a contract with Del Webb Developers. Del Webb is huge. And my dad got the contract for doing a fence around one of their subdivisions. It was a big job. My dad needed $200,000 worth of steel to get going on that. Of course, he didn't have $200,000, but he had a credit. So called this steel supplier, took him up on it. And I was still in high school, and he started this job out of the garage. And coming down Villa Maria Street, where we live, here comes a big old truck, pulled up and says, where do you want this? My dad said, right here in my driveway. He says, you got a forklift? I got a son. And we put these beams up against the truck, broke the ties, and rolled all that steel off. Sounded like a bomb went off. And the truck drove away. My dad went to work getting these fence put in. Well, Del Webb is one of those companies. They only pay once a month. Okay, a lot of the big developers do that. 3 weeks into the job, they call him. Del Webb called, said, you're doing a good job, Mike. You're keeping up. We didn't know that you would. And so we've got the other subdivision opened up. We need you to start on that as soon as you're done with this, because we know you're almost done. My dad said, okay, no problem. Hung up and said, I don't have any steel to do the next job. And they don't pay me till the end of the month, and that's still a week away. And so he called the steel supplier and said, Del Webb's not going to pay me for another week, so I can't pay you the $200,000 I owe you. And he says, that's all right, Mike. He says, but I need to start the next job, so I need another $200,000 worth of steel. And he said, that's okay, Mike. We'll send it right away. He did. My dad finished the job, and when Del Webb wrote him a check, my dad didn't even deposit it. He just signed the back of it and took it over and signed it over to Del Webb. Forgiveness and grace. See, the difference, though, with my dad and the company is my dad made his name good. That's why we trusted him. You and I in our sin will never make a good name for ourselves before a perfect God. And God's perfect and holy. He forgives anyway. He extends grace anyway. Forgiveness and grace is what the Resurrection Sunday is all about. It's about the fact that Christ did for us what we can never do for ourselves. And then offers himself as the wrath-removing sacrifice for our sins. And the scripture is very clear. You either have the Son and have eternal life, or you don't have the Son and you don't have the life. And how do you have the Son? It says in John 3:16, whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. You don't earn the Son by what you do. You receive the Son by who you believe. And who do you believe? Jesus Christ. And you can believe in him right where you sit. You can believe in him without lifting a muscle. And stop trusting in yourself to get to heaven and say, I receive the forgiveness of Jesus Christ by what he did, not by anything that I did. You can do that. You can do that right now. I received Christ as my Savior when I was 15 years old. Stopped believing in myself, and I did believe in me. Yeah, I was a good kid. God's going to look at anybody's good attitude and good works and the fact that he gets along with his teachers and his parents. It's going to be me, and God's going to let me in. And then somebody opened the Bible and showed me that my good works are nothing compared to God's holiness. And I stopped believing in myself on December 7th of 1984 and believed in Jesus and what he did on the cross instead. And now, come Resurrection Sunday, I'm always in a good mood. All day long ought to be a note of what the choir just ended on. You ought to be fired up, and you can be if you trust in the Savior who did for you what you could never do for yourself.